Last Word on Today FM.
Now you're welcome back. It is Will O'Callaghan in for Matt Cooper on this Friday ahead of the bank holiday weekend. And we will talk about the ex-CNN anchor Don Lemon, who remains in custody, we believe, after, he was arrested around his coverage of a Minnesota church protest around ICE. But before that, Marian McKeown is with us to talk about this, because Marian, just before we came on air, there was a last minute press conference that was called by Todd Blanche, the Deputy US Attorney General. And again, we were talking about Epstein files, and we've got 3 million more pages to digest.
Yes, indeed. It's the gift, if you want to call it that, and I use that word very loosely, that keeps on giving. There had been a lot, you know, I'm always suspicious, and I think most journalists who have covered the States are, when there's a news drop like this on a Friday afternoon, it's usually to distract you from something else. In fact, invariably, it's to distract from something else. Now, there has been a lot of pressure to release more Epstein files. The Department of Justice is currently in violation of the law, the Epstein Files Transparency Act, which was passed by Congress, I think it was last November. And that law required that everything be released within 30 days, subject to certain restrictions, you know, cases and criminal investigations pending, that kind of thing. Only 1% of the files have been released. And so they're way overdue. So Todd Blanche, the Deputy Attorney General, just announced that another 3 million pages are being dropped, including 2,000 videos and 18,000 images. Yes, 18,000 images. I thought it was 180,000 there for a moment. So that will certainly keep people busy. The drop is imminent, I understand. We also, this week, of course, we had a situation where Congress is holding Bill and Hillary Clinton in contempt, and they're ratcheting up the pressure there. And in fact, a number of Democrats in the Oversight Committee, younger members, have voted with Republicans to try and pressure the Clintons to appear before Congress to testify. So the Epstein files is always a story that's got something going on. It seems highly unlikely that this drop will feature anything significant about Donald Trump or feature Donald Trump at all. I think at the moment a lot of pressure and focus seems to be liaison with the congressional Republicans and possibly the Attorney General's office to keep the focus very firmly on the Clintons.
As I recall as well, Marian, weren't all of the Epstein files meant to be out before Christmas of last year? I definitely heard a date in late December.
Pages. Yeah, that's right. They were given 30 days. I think the law was passed on the 19th of November, and they were given 30 days. So by 19th, 20th of December, the files should have all been released. About 1% have been released up until now. They're saying another 3 million pages. That is probably about half the files in total. And Blanche is saying that the other 3 million are being held back for further review, again, subject to the caveats, which was allowed for in the legislation, that they didn't have to release files that could be used in a pending investigation. Trump did order that the Clintons be investigated by the New York Attorney General's office for their connection with Epstein and other Democrats as well. So, as I say, about half of them will be released. Of course, it will generate huge interest, as much to see who isn't connected with the latest drop as much as who is, I would imagine. And it will certainly keep people talking over the weekend, which I suspect may be what the Trump administration wants for whatever reason.
Was reading Todd Blanche's comments just before he came on air. So he very much dismissed the idea that the Justice Department had been holding back or being very selective in the way they've been redacting these documents too.
Well, I think, to paraphrase, I think it was Mandy Rice Davis who said, well, he would say that, wouldn't he? I mean, the facts very clearly show otherwise. They weren't going to release any. I mean, if you look at the mayhem and Pam Bondi's handling of it last year, which almost cost her her job, the denials, the untruths they told about the files, the refusal to release them after pledging that they would release everything, and then all of these, you know, pullbacks and caveats and explanations. And of course, Todd Blanche hightailed it down to Florida for 2 days for chats with Ghislaine Maxwell and had her moved to a very cushy prison afterwards. I mean, there are a lot of dots to join here, but it certainly looks like people are anxious that some things are concealed and other things are released.
We remember last time we were wondering whether it was somebody inside the system that had maybe not redacted correctly based on what the original files had shown. Todd Blanche also said, quote, mistakes are going to be inevitable. We, of course, want to immediately correct any redaction errors that we make or our team may have made. So he is setting up for the fact there's probably going to be both heavy redaction here and also that maybe everything that's meant to be redacted or not redacted might not be the case.
There will be enormous amounts of redaction, I think, just like with the first batch. I think there is a bit of preemptive covering his ass there, obviously. But again, as I said, I think that it will be interesting to see who features in these pictures and videos. And also, we know the friends and associates of Jeffrey Epstein. It was a bewildering array of business people, of people from the fashion world, the political world, you know, all kinds of worlds. And you know, some people have featured in the photographs. People like Mick Jagger and the Rolling Stones was in one picture with Jeffrey Epstein. There was no suggestion he had done anything wrong, obviously, but he was in a picture. I think Michael Jackson was in another. Epstein cultivated people, but there has been a very sort of focusing in on the lens on the Clintons, which has been very deliberate and very strategic by Republicans and the Department of Justice recently. So I wouldn't be surprised if more pictures of Bill Clinton don't feature quite prominently in this drop.
The Don Lemon situation then in Minnesota this week. So the feeling seemed to be that he had certainly put the nose out of joint of Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, with some of his reporting around this. And then this has sparked quite a debate around First Amendment rights and the rights of journalists within the USA at the moment. People will remember that Don Lemon was a longtime CNN anchor. He was arrested, I think, was he on his way to the Grammys when he was arrested? But this is around his coverage of the Minnesota protests, isn't it?
That's right. I think he was photographed at the Grammys, so I think it may have been very shortly afterwards at the reception for the Grammys. This is a really, I think, disturbing case. Now, Don Lemon claims that he arrived in Minnesota to film the protests, and he was going to go to the Wrigley Building, which is where everybody had been going, the federal building where a lot of people were being held, which is where a lot of the protests have been around. And he was approached, he claims, by some protesters who said, well, if you'd like to cover something we're doing, you know, come with us. He claims he went to the church with the full intention of being a journalist, documenting what was going to happen there, documenting that particular protest, not intending to disrupt a service that was taking place, that he was there as a bystander, if you will, rather than a participant, as an observer. Initially, a magistrate judge in Minneapolis agreed and refused to bring a case against him. Pam Bondi, the Attorney General, was reportedly furious and insisted that he be arrested and charged, along with a second journalist, a local journalist. I think her name is Georgia Fort is her name, and she had covered other trials like the Derek Chauvin trial following the murder of George Floyd. Now, it really is. I mean, the irony is that the Civil Rights Division in the Department of Justice has been gutted. Almost all of the lawyers who worked there for years, doing very good work, have been fired. There's now somebody there called Harmeet Dhillon, who's now heading the Civil Rights Division, and she is now, instead of the focusing, you could question on why the officers who were involved in the extrajudicial killings, basically, of Renee Good and Alex Pretty are not being investigated at all. But she is now taking it upon herself to investigate Lemon and this other journalist. And she claims that she may also prosecute them under the Ku Klux Klan Act, basically, which makes it a crime to interfere with somebody or intimidate them when they are in a place of worship or other places. Now, the reason they went to this particular church is because one of the pastors, a man called David Eastwood, is also head of ICE. He's also one of the heads of the local ICE divisions. He's a pastor in that church, and the reason the protests were taking place is because he is a pastor there. Now, again, Lemon, who has a very heavyweight lawyer, by the way, Abby Lowell, has represented just about every Washington heavyweight you can imagine, Bill Clinton, Jared Kushner. He also represented Hunter Biden in his criminal trial. And he is now being retained by Don Lemon. And he says this is ludicrous. He has a clear First Amendment right to be there as an observer or a protester, and you cannot arrest him for doing his job. So I think this is a case that it's really difficult to see how this will go, but I could see it going to the Supreme Court, and there could be a worrying narrowing of the definition of the First Amendment if it does that.
Yeah, Abby Lowell has said they will fight the charges vigorously and thoroughly throughout the court. Yeah. So that's setting that up. Marion, thanks a million for joining us. Enjoy the long weekend.
The Last Word on Today FM.